I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Welcome into another episode of The Memo, everybody. I'm Brad Locke with W. Derek Russell.
He's and back.
It's Chris Kiefer, our producer. Yes, I'm back from vacation. I'm sure I was sorely missed.
Welcome to the future. Much has changed in the year you have been gone.
Happy New Year, Derek.
I don't think you caught my joke in budget meeting this morning, did you? Everybody else laughed pretty heartily.
What was it? Remind me.
They asked you to put the police station story online, and you said, "What's going on with the police station?" I said, "It's been built since you were gone."
I don't.
Charlie and Thomas and Dennis, and we all had a good laugh.
Was that a Back to the Future reference? I don't know.
No, it's just you've been gone a really long time, so the police station has been under construction has been...
I don't know.
The joke's not funny if I have to spell it out for you.
No, it's not.
Happy New Year's Eve.
Happy New Year, Derek. Yes. Tomorrow...
Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
It's the last day of the year, 2015. It was quite the year. I had a baby. Well, my wife had the baby.
I was going to say, well, that is news. No wonder you needed a few weeks.
Yeah.
We started a podcast?
We did. Started several podcasts.
Yeah.
Still got Prep Rally and Double Coverage. We'll tell you about those later. What else happened that was fun, Derek? Star Wars. That was fun. Huh? I haven't seen it yet.
You haven't seen any of them? Don't patronize me.
Most of them.
Lauren was just in here a minute ago. She spoiled one of them.
Everybody dies.
I didn't say which one she spoiled. She spoiled three. Yeah. But it doesn't matter.
Well,
regardless, it came out 11 years ago, and Chris is still angry about it.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's fine.
We'll have Lauren on the show today. Lauren Wood.
Past tense.
Well, yeah.
Future tense, but also past tense.
Yeah, we've already taped the interview.
It's pre-recorded.
It is. Just like this. None of this is live.
Basically, everything you heard
Mind
was in the past.
Blown.
True.
You don't hear anything live. Everything's in the past.
Kind of reminds me of that Mitch Hedberg line when people say, "Hey, look at this
picture
of me
when
I was
younger."
Yeah. Well, every picture of you is when you were younger.
Here's a picture of me when I was older. That's what kind of camera you got?
Oh, I miss that guy. Rest in peace. Anyway,
spoiler alert.
What?
No,
he's dead.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was a good year, fun year. Good show coming up. We got Bobby Harrison as well. We got Scene to cover with you. You take a look back at 2015, in fact.
I do.
The year in film and TV and music.
Mm-hmm.
And who else we got on the show? Remind me. Oh, Joe Rutherford going to talk with us about the last time Ole Miss was at the Sugar Bowl.
As well as Emma Kent joining us to talk about this year's bowls.
Yep. Ole Miss plays Oklahoma State tomorrow. Mississippi State won the Belk Bowl yesterday, beating NC State 51-28.
Prediction of the future. Michigan State will beat Alabama 42-19.
No, come on. I think Bama will pull it out.
Yeah.
And then you got Clemson.
Don't tell Lauren that.
Then you got Clemson and Oklahoma, which kicks off at 3.
Auburn won.
Afternoon. Yeah, so Auburn won.
Deserve a little golf clap.
And then the Memphis player went and stole the football and got kicked off the team.
He was a senior. It was like, screw it.
It didn't matter.
I don't need this.
Kicked him off the team even though his career was already over. I guess that means he didn't get to go to the team banquet or something. I don't know.
He went out like not quite a champ, but, you know, something.
Yeah, yeah.
Thief. He went out like a thief.
Memphis players, you know, last year they brawled against BYU of all teams. They got BYU players to fight, and this year they're still in football.
That takes a lot to get BYU to
I would think
over,
so.
You know.
Okay. Guess we should do the show now.
Okay.
Cool. Let's go to Jackson now, and our Capitol Bureau reporter, Bobby Harrison, going to join us on the program. Bobby, how you doing?
All right, Brad, how you doing? Have you had a good holiday?
So far, so good. I'm back at work today after being off for like 10 days, so that's a thing. But you're off today, but you're still joining us, so thanks.
My pleasure.
Of course, in a few days, the legislative session begins down there in Jackson, so you'll be plenty busy there, Bobby. One issue that could be big is the state flag issue. The state flag has come under a lot of scrutiny since the mass killing in South Carolina a few months ago. Confederate symbols in general have come under scrutiny, and of course, the Mississippi flag includes the old Confederate battle emblem. But your story today, Bobby, says, yeah, it could be a big issue, but it might not be. I mean, you've got a Republican-controlled legislature down there, and there's people like Philip Gunn, the House Speaker, who think there needs to be a change. Even Phil Bryant is open to putting it to another vote. Is it kind of hard to get a feel on how that might play out, Bobby?
Yeah, it sure is, Brad. After the shooting you referred to in South Carolina by the young man who was there, was I think you recall there were internet photos of him draped in the Confederate flag, that there was seen to be some momentum to make some changes. Of course, about that time, South Carolina's Republican governor helped lead an effort to take the Confederate flag down from the state capitol grounds there in South Carolina. And about that time, here in Mississippi, House Speaker Philip Gunn surprised everyone by coming out saying it was time to change the state flag here in Mississippi. And
yeah,
if you recall, about that time, you know, they don't have a vote per se there, but both U.S. Senators Thad Cochran and Roger Wicker also came out saying they would support changing the state flag in Mississippi. And so there appeared to be some momentum in the summer, but then over in the Senate, Lieutenant Governor Tate Reeves and Governor Bryant both said that there was a statewide referendum in, what was it, 2001, I believe, where yeah, voters overwhelmingly voiced support for keeping our current flag, which has that Confederate battle emblem prominently displayed in it, and they said the legislation shouldn't usurp the will of the people, so that momentum seemed to be dying down. And then jump ahead to the fall, I guess it was, both the Ole Miss, University of Mississippi, and University of Southern Mississippi down in Hattiesburg both stopped flying the state flag. And at that time, the governor expressed disappointment for them doing that. As I was traveling this holiday season, I saw a big billboard on Highway 6 and, before you got to Oxford, saying, you know, referring to Ole Miss, said you take our money, you refer to state money, fly our flag. So there's a lot of hostility towards Ole Miss, particularly for doing that. But that was a side note. But about that time, when they stopped flying the flag, Brian expressed disappointment, and he also said that he said he'd be willing to have another statewide vote. So the question is, is the legislature going to put the issue back on the ballots for voters to voice opinions on again? Or, I mean, there's a lot of people who want to, including a lot of legislators, who want to change the flag without sending it back to the people for a vote. Now, it'd be a big surprise to me if that happened, but there's people that's going to try to do that. The question is, the speaker's come out for changing the flag. Will he spend the political capital to try to do that during the session? I don't know. I think that's a big question. Over in the Senate, Lieutenant Governor Reeves has already gone on record saying he didn't want to change the flag, and I think he would probably acquiesce to a statewide vote, but I'd be surprised if he would do more. But it may be an issue that just doesn't come up at all. It's a controversial issue. And if there is a statewide vote, and the Mississippians vote to keep the current flag, it's going to put us in the national spotlight. Some people would argue for all the wrong reasons. So there's reasons not to have a vote. So
yeah.
To answer your question, as you framed it to begin with, it may be an issue or it may not.
Yeah, I mean, it's an issue that's really maintained its momentum over the months in Mississippi and around the country. I kind of wonder, Bobby, if it ends up not really being addressed this session, do you think that'll be more due to people opposing changing it, or just maybe general apathy on the part of a certain number of legislators?
A little bit of both, but I think a lot of it could be that, you know, in 2001, Mississippi Economic Council played a key role in business groups in trying to change the flag. And that was unsuccessful. And, I mean, some of those same groups may say, look, we're going to put this on the ballot again, and it fails. I mean, it's going to open the state up to criticism in some circles. Perhaps, you know, in 2001, there were talks of boycotts that never come to fruition. But, you know, it's a sort of a different environment now. It could happen now that there would be boycotts. And, you know, there might be those who just say, if we can't change it through the legislative process, it might be better to leave it as it is instead of going to the voters, where the conventional wisdom is that majority of Mississippians would vote to keep the current flag now as they did in 2001.
Yeah, I wonder, Bobby, would it be a bigger PR nightmare for the state of Mississippi if they did nothing, or if they put it to a vote and voters chose to keep it?
You know, right now we're kind of, there's not a lot of tension on it right now, but right, I can assure you if there was a statewide vote, there'd be, you know, everybody from the New York Times, CNN, yeah, Fox News, everybody would be covering that
sure, yeah,
if there was a statewide vote.
Sure.
And Brad, just a side note, you know, there may be a statewide vote regardless. I don't know how effective the groups are, but there's two groups talking about at some point in the initiative process to try to gather the signatures to put it on the issue for voters to decide. And one of them is pro-changing the flag group. The other is keeping the old flag. And that group, the latter group, I don't think they've actually got there to the process where they can start gathering signatures yet. I think they're having some problems with crafting the language the way that they want it and that the Attorney General agrees with. So that's the latest I remember on that. So it could be a statewide vote regardless of what the legislature does. Now, if it's through the initiative process, this is an important note that I think a lot of people sort of tend to overlook. If it's through the initiative process, whatever the outcome would be in the state constitution instead of just a general law. And, of course, we all know that when something goes in the constitution, it's much harder to change than it is to change a general law.
All right, Bobby, we appreciate you. You can find his story on the state flag issue in today's journal, djournal.com, and look for his coverage from the new legislative session, which, again, begins on Tuesday down in Jackson. Bobby, thank you.
Okay, y'all have a good day.
You
good
too.
Weekend.
Hey, if you're into making short films, or if you just want to give it a shot, we've got this pretty cool contest going on. The Daily Journal is inviting filmmakers to participate in the new Entertain Us movie contest. Contest is open to anyone, and video submissions can run from anywhere from 1 second to 5 minutes. They can be shot on an iPhone, camcorder, really any device. Videos will go head-to-head in a bracket-style competition, and viewers will vote for their favorites. So that's a pretty cool way to set it up. Participants should upload their video to YouTube and then email the link to entertainus@journalinc.com. That's entertainus@journalinc.com. That's INC.com. Registration is now open and will continue until 11:59 p.m. on January the 20th. There is no registration fee. The ultimate Entertain Us winner will get a personalized director's chair and a director's slate. The winner is expected to be crowned around Oscars weekend. So show us your filmmaking chops. Let's welcome Emma Kent back to the show. Emma, I guess you filled in for me while I was gone a little bit, didn't you?
Yeah, I did a couple times. Yeah. It was fun.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good deal.
I say she filled in very well. You should be nervous.
Oh, boy.
Pressure's on,
Job's
Brad.
On the line. Well, in that case, I'll make this interview as difficult as possible for you. No.
Bring it on.
Ole Miss and Mississippi State playing in bowl games this week. Mississippi State, as we mentioned, beat NC State yesterday in Charlotte, North Carolina. In the Belk Bowl, Ole Miss plays Oklahoma State in the Sugar Bowl tomorrow, New Year's Day. And so Emma kind of jumped over to the college sports beat for a couple of stories about fans going to these respective bowl games. Pretty long trip for MAC fans, Emma. I know where that game was played, NC State fans heavily outnumbered MAC fans, but you did find some people.
Yes.
From Pontotoc.
Yes, from Pontotoc.
Yeah. And five cars. They caravaned it up there, five cars.
Oh, yeah. 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 Big group.
Yeah. Annie Goodwin and her fiancé, Andy McGregor,
yes,
were among the group. How excited were they?
They were very excited. And just some background information, they are really big Mississippi State fans. Like, they never miss a game at home. And they probably travel to a good bit of away games too, but I mean, they're always in the Junction.
Yeah.
So this is just part of it for them. They go, let's see, every year that Mississippi State has been to a bowl game, I know Andy has gone.
And they've gone six straight years now, so that can get expensive.
Yeah, but they love to travel too. So it's just kind of like they said in the story, I think, like the best of both worlds. So they're pretty excited to travel and get to go see them play.
And it's kind of like a Christmas gift because they say they don't spend money on this as opposed to a bunch of presents.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is like their Christmas thing, which is kind of cool. So
Okay. It is cool. As I mentioned, MSU won that game, so it was a good trip for them. And Ole Miss, of course, the big game, the Sugar Bowl, is one of the big six bowls.
Right.
First time in 46 years, I think, that Ole Miss has gone to the Sugar Bowl. It's a very prestigious bowl game, has been for a long, long time. Ole Miss will play Oklahoma State, and you did a story about the Toppin family.
Yes.
Alex Toppin, trying to think, these are the kids, Gabby Toppin, Drew Toppin. The dad is Bruce Toppin, and his wife, Mary Ann Placencia, who has actually been on this program.
Yeah.
All trooping it down to New Orleans. Apparently, they lived there at one point, so this is kind of going back home for them.
Yeah, they did. And actually, Drew, who is, well, he turned 25. I think yesterday. His birthday was this week, but he was born in New Orleans, so they were joking that they were going back to, like, where he was born for his birthday or whatever. So it was kind of funny. But yeah, I mean, they are going down as a family, going to the Sugar Bowl and just doing some of their favorite New Orleans things, too. It was kind of funny. Bruce is, apparently he grew up in New York, so he was not like an SEC football, you know, he didn't grow up in that environment, but he, when I was talking to him, he was just very excited because he was like, I remember seeing Archie Manning play in the Sugar Bowl, you know, so however many years ago in 1970 when he was a kid and not when Archie Manning was a kid. Bruce would have been
about 10 years old back then.
Yeah. Right. And so he was just really pumped like to see Ole Miss playing a Sugar Bowl game because he has that memory, I guess, of watching the bowl games during the holidays when he was a kid. So he was feeling nostalgic about it. But I think he was probably the most excited of the crew.
Now, was it them or the other family you were there when the tickets showed up?
With them.
With the Toppins.
Yeah, they came in the mail that morning.
Yeah, while you were interviewing
them. While I was interviewing them,
They're pretty pumped, weren't they?
Yeah.
That's cool. Because they were supposed to go to Nashville, according to the story, and just, you know, spend New Year's Eve there, which sounds to me like a good time. Go to stay in a cabin outside Nashville. Honestly, personally, I'd rather do that. it's a cool thing. Yeah. The Sugar Bowl, Ole Miss hasn't been there in decades, so it's pretty historic for them. There's always plenty to do in New Orleans, too.
Mm-hmm.
I have been. But I won't speak of what happened. Anyway, so what are their plans besides the ball game to do down there?
I think just kind of take in the city. They said they love the French Quarter.
Yeah.
They just like to walk around. And Drew actually goes to Tulane. He's in med school at Tulane.
Oh, cool.
So he was saying that they were going to go and kind of look around campus. And I don't think his siblings have ever seen the campus before, so he was going to show them around. You know, eat good food and just hang out, spend time together.
That's really one of the best things you can do in New Orleans is walk around, look at the cool stuff, and eat all the good food.
That's what I would do.
That's a trip right there. Yeah. And then taking some football in this case. All right, Emma, appreciate you joining us. The story is on the Ole Miss fans. That's in today's journal at djournal.com as well. Thank you.
Thanks, Brad.
On the show now with us, Joe Rutherford, our editorial page editor. Easy for me to say. Joe, welcome back. You've been on the show, haven't you, Joe?
I have.
I thought so. Well, today Joe's going to talk some football with us. As we've mentioned, Ole Miss playing in the Sugar Bowl against Oklahoma State down in New Orleans on Friday. Yeah, tomorrow's Friday. My days have been all mixed up with the holidays. It does that every year.
It'll do that to you.
I know. Plus, I've been on vacation. Joe, you are actually – this was before I was born. you're – You attended the last Sugar Bowl that Ole Miss played in.
That's
back
correct.
On January 1st, 1970, the Rebels, led by Archie Manning, defeated Arkansas 27-22. Arkansas, I believe, back then was part of the old Southwest Conference or Big Eight, whatever
they
called it.
Yeah. That's correct. And they had been, until 1961, an annual opponent for Ole Miss.
Ah.
But 1961, that series, for reasons that have never been fully explained, ended for quite a long time, and then it resumed.
Right.
It was a great rivalry and a natural one.
Exactly. So, and now they play every year because they're in the same division in the
SEC.
That's right. But take me back to 1970, Joe. You went to that game. Tell me a little bit about getting there and all that stuff.
Well, I went to that game as part of a much larger group of Ole Miss friends, and we took the train. I and a good many other people boarded the train at Batesville in the evening or in the afternoon, and then we arrived in New Orleans early the next morning, like 1 or 1:30 a.m.
Hmm.
And every stop that the train made, I think by that time, the city of New Orleans had become a daytime train, and it got to New Orleans at night. But it started out in Chicago in the mornings.
Wow.
And every stop it made, Grenada, Winona, Canton, Jackson, Brookhaven, Hazelhurst, Macomb, more and more people got on, most of them Ole Miss fans and Ole Miss students.
I'm impressed you remember all those stops all these years later.
Well, that was not the only time I had ridden the train to a Sugar Bowl. I actually went to my first Sugar Bowl on New Year's Day in 1964 when Ole Miss played Alabama under Bear Bryant with Joe Namath as the starting quarterback, but he had been benched by Bryant before the game for breaking team rules.
Imagine
Does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
And their quarterback was Steve Sloan.
Ah, yeah.
And Alabama beat us 12-7 on the strength of 4 field goals.
Wow.
And it was also an historic day in New Orleans because it had snowed the night before in the old Tulane Stadium. Had snow between the seats, and our feet were just about icicles. Nobody had expected.
Don't expect that.
That's right.
Yeah. But then moving ahead to the 1970 game, you went back.
That's right. And it had been
a little warmer.
It was a little bit warmer. It was still cold and required some kind of an outer jacket, but it was not nearly as cold.
It was before the Superdome, or before they played in the Superdome.
Right. That was my next to last attendance at Sugar Bowl Stadium, which was the Tulane Stadium, a big, big old metal stadium. It seated more than the Superdome. It seated about 82,000 people.
Wow.
And it was double-decked, and it was very noisy because people liked to jump up and down, and the metal would resonate, and sometimes the stadium would shake.
Wow.
But the 1969 Ole Miss season had been expected to be maybe the best in the history of Ole Miss. Some early season defeats sort of stunned Ole Miss. We lost, I believe, 11-10 to Kentucky.
Wow.
And the next week we lost on national television at night in Birmingham to Alabama 33-32.
Yep, that was an epic game.
An epic game. And Archie Manning, of course, was the quarterback for those. But we ended the season on a strong note, and I will set the stage for our playing Arkansas by reminding everyone who's as old as I am that Arkansas had played Texas in the last game of the regular season, I believe, in Fayetteville. And the winner of that game had already been designated to go to the Cotton Bowl as the champion of the Southwest Conference.
Yep.
And the loser was going to the Sugar Bowl. And most Ole Miss people wanted to play Arkansas because of the traditional rivalry. And frankly, I wanted to play Arkansas because I didn't think we could beat Texas. So Texas won by maybe 1 point.
Yeah, it was a close game. Yeah.
And President Nixon was at that game. It was a big deal.
Yeah.
And so immediately, a lot of Ole Miss students started making plans to go to New Orleans.
And so tell me what you remember about the game. Archie Manning had a big day. He was named Most Outstanding Player. Ole Miss beat Arkansas 27-22 in that game. Trying to go back. And Arkansas was ranked number three in the country at the time. So a bit of an upset for sure. Yeah, Archie, 39 rushing yards, 273 passing yards, threw and ran for a touchdown each. This is one of his better performances, I guess.
Yeah, it was, and it was really also a team effort. Bo Bowen made a touchdown run in that game that seemed to have lasted about 30 minutes.
Yeah, 69 yards.
Yes, and it was sort of like the Billy Cannon run. He avoided so many people. It was virtually everyone on the Arkansas team before he finally made it to the end zone. But we also had a really outstanding defensive performance from Glenn Cannon, who was a defensive back for Ole Miss, and he broke up some key passes from the Arkansas quarterback, whose name I think was Montgomery, and they also had a really fine player named Chuck Dykus.
Okay.
And it was a spirited, fun ball game.
Yeah. And actually, Parrish Alford had a story in today's journal talking to Archie Manning about that game. Kind of funny, apparently Archie has pretty good recall. You know, I did a story on Archie back in 1999 for the Oxford Eagle talking about that epic Alabama game that we mentioned earlier. When I first question I asked Archie about it, he's like, well, you know, maybe if we'd won that game, I could tell you more about it. acting like he didn't have a very good memory of it, but I guess he remembers the Sugar Bowl pretty well.
Yeah, that was a sweet victory for Ole Miss. Yeah, yeah. And, of course, all the Ole Miss people stayed in the stands to see him receive the MVP trophy at midfield after the game. And I don't remember exactly what he said. It was something like, "I'm very humbled by this," and we all cheered. And then we did what all other students in New Orleans do. The party began.
Oh, I'm sure it did. Ole Miss fans in New Orleans.
That's right. That's right.
And we'll not ask you to give any details.
Those details are sort of fuzzy. And I just know that all my friends and I had a very good time. And I do remember that we went, and Chris will appreciate this, we went to Justine's for supper one night. And that was sort of at the top of the list at that point as a fine restaurant. And we were all in a state of shock because we had no idea it was going to be as expensive as it was. And none of us had credit cards. And so we sort of pooled our cash in a great pile in the middle of the table to pay the bill. And the waiter countered it. He said, "That's fine. Thank you very much."
And close enough.
We all left. And I guess on the second, we got on the train early in the morning and came back to Mississippi, and all the people who'd gotten on the train got off at the same places they'd got on.
Yeah.
And then that was in the day when second semester began very soon after New Year's Day.
Right.
So there might have been 2 or 3 days before everybody went back to campus and got ready for final exams.
Just enough time to recover.
That's right. That's right.
So you're going to go to this Sugar Bowl or just going to watch it on TV?
I'm going to watch it on television. I have a television watching group here in Tupelo. And we are going to have Creole and Cajun food in honor of New Orleans. Nice. And we've been watching Ole Miss football for 2 seasons now together. And I thought about going, but also decided, having been to 2, that my bucket list wish is fulfilled in terms of the Sugar Bowl. But I'm delighted that Ole Miss is going back. This is sort of the Super Bowl equivalent for Ole Miss fans.
No doubt, no doubt. Joe Rutherford. Joe, really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Good to have you on again for more story time with Joe Rutherford.
All right, let me make one other comment.
Sure.
For football fans of all stripes, there's a new book out. It's called The Last Season.
Ah, yes.
Written by Stuart Stevens, who is a well-known political consultant for the Republican Party. And it's about a full season of attending Ole Miss football games with his now 98-year-old father, Phineas Stevens, who is an Ole Miss graduate and still an Ole Miss fan. And he is the sole surviving founder of the law firm Butler, Snow, O'Mara, Stevens, and Canada in Jackson. And in the 2013 season, he and Stuart went to every Ole Miss game, and this book was the product of that experience.
Cool.
And it's very good.
Okay. The Last Season by Stuart Stevens.
Stuart Stevens.
Good deal. Thank you, Joe.
Yes, sir.
Mentioned earlier of all the podcasts that we have, not just this one, but we do have a couple of other fairly new ones, Double Coverage and Prep Rally. Of course, Double Coverage with Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and MSU beat reporter Logan Lowry airs every week. Normally, we'll drop on Thursday. We did it a little early this week in advance of the bowl games. So if you still want to listen to it, I know MSU has already played and won, but the Sugar Bowl isn't until tomorrow. So you can go check it out and see what Parrish had to say about the Rebels against Oklahoma State. Doublecoverage.djournal.com. Can also download it on iTunes or your podcast app. And Prep Rally, the new high school sports podcast. We've been off for a couple of weeks. Gene Phelps and myself hosting it. We'll be back next Wednesday, the 6th of January. You can listen there at preprally.djournal.com, and it is on iTunes. And Chris, is it on any of the podcast apps just yet?
It is, yeah. Okay. It's on, I'm trying to think, think of them all, but most of your major podcast apps, even if you're in Android, Player.fm, Stitcher, Satchel.
Yes, okay. So you can check out Prep Rally there. Again, that'll be back next Wednesday. And, of course, Double Coverage, I guess, will be back next Thursday. Okay, time for the news memo. catching you up on some of the latest news. Mississippi's death toll from the December 23rd tornado outbreak has risen to 11. State emergency officials said on Tuesday that a Cahoma County resident died at a hospital in Memphis. That was the second Cahoma County death from the tornado. There were also 6 deaths in Benton County, 2 in Marshall County, and 1 in Tippah County. The National Weather Service said the twister reached a strength of EF4 just before it hit Marshall County.
And in tandem with that, Governor Phil Bryant has declared a state of emergency ahead of expected January flooding along the Mississippi River. The state of emergency covers all counties along the river and its tributaries. Officials said Natchez, Vicksburg, and Tunica can expect close to record river levels in January.
Okay, Lauren Wood is now on the program, sporting her nice-looking Michigan State
Go Green
toboggan hat thing with the big poof on the top.
It's game
nice
day.
Yeah, Lauren, big Michigan State fan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, playing Alabama.
Yes.
Tonight.
Yes. And when we win, I'm going to shoot off a bunch of fireworks. This isn't true,
it's a good segue.
Yes.
It is. Lauren, you shot the fireworks stand for a story we had in today's journal. Scott Morris wrote the story. You had the pictures. Fireworks, it's a thing tonight.
Oh, yeah.
People be losing digits and whatnot if they're not careful. But, yeah, you went over to this fireworks stand down Highway 6 toward Pontotoc, run by Buddy and Susan Buchanan.
Yes. Yeah.
They just opened the fireworks stand up on this past week, this past Monday. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's a seasonal thing, but tell us a little bit about what they got over there. Pretty good layout.
Pretty good selection. Well, I also just want to say I did not know fireworks were a thing around New Year's. It's not up north.
Really?
Yes.
Michiganders are so weird.
We're all snowed in, so no.
That's a good point.
But it's fun. You know, it's like a fun tradition, and like this lady, Brandy Brown of Pontotoc, she's like, you know, I grew up doing it, and now my son, you know, I'm picking up a couple things for him, so we can kind of just continue this little tradition on tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, I grew up shooting off fireworks. Of course, I most of my time growing up, I spent living out in the county or when I was in Louisiana, out in the parish.
Yes.
Outside the city limits. Inside the Tupelo city limits, I believe it is illegal to shoot off fireworks. So I haven't done it in years. And so my kids have never really done it because we've always lived in the city limits. So I kind of hate they're missing out on that. Mm-hmm. But it is a cool thing. You can do it out in the county, I guess. All day long, can't you?
And they had everything from little, you know, sparklers and little like bumblebee things to like the big, like giant ones. No Roman candles, so.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I take that back. We did it one July 4th at a friend's house out in the county a few years ago. See, that's what you got to do. You got to have friends out in the county.
Out in the county,
to go out and do that.
Well, and they said, like, 4th of July is a lot bigger. You know, obviously, everyone associates fireworks with the 4th of July. Yeah. But this is, they're like, we're going to be slammed all day, like, today, like, the 31st.
Yeah.
All day that, like, we'll be selling. And we'll be selling, like, past midnight. So if you want to go get some fireworks.
Yeah.
To shoot off outside of city limits.
And they'll be probably staying open pretty late. They said in the story that they've had people pull up at really odd hours.
Yep.
And to spend open money on fireworks. So,
you want to talk about the dog?
Oh, yeah.
The dog. Yeah, they had some dogs out there, the people that run the
Buddy
place.
Buddy and Susan, they have, like, Scottish Terriers. And one of their Scottish Terriers has had a litter of puppies, like 2-week-old puppies. They were like this big, tiny, and they're really cute. Aww. And I took a photo of Lulu. It didn't get in the paper, sadly, but she's like sitting there on the chair, like next to the where everyone's checking out and buying their fireworks. And she's just sitting there watching. It was a fun dynamic to the story, But yeah, so it should be. It was a fun story to do. Like I said, today is the day. Go get your fireworks. You want to go?
Yeah. Speaking of dogs and fireworks, be mindful of dogs when you're shooting off fireworks. When I was a kid, our dog Sparky was just terrified of them. So every time we shot him off, he'd go hide under the shed the rest
of
the night.
So much stress for animals. Yeah.
So anyway, all right. You can find the story and Lauren's pictures in today's journal at djournal.com as well. Thank you, Lauren, and good luck to Sparty.
Thanks, Brad.
Need to remind y'all to check out Thrive Marketing, a full-service digital marketing company located in Tupelo, providing websites, search engine optimization, social media management, email, and text messaging services for local businesses online at thrive.ms. Okay, now it's time to check out the entertainment scene. Hey, Derek.
Hey, Brad.
How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, I'm good.
You're giving me a weird look there.
No.
Trying to make me break up during that.
No.
Thrive plug.
No, I would not. Damn. I'd never try to make you break the face.
Yeah, you would. No movie review today from M. Scott Morris, in case you're wondering.
I gave you 5 movie reviews.
But we have some pretty cool stuff from you, Derek, in today's journal, the scene section.
Well, occasionally I get to break out of the mold, and when there aren't things going on, as it's New Year's weekend, there's not a whole lot going on this weekend.
Right.
But with it being New Year's Eve and having scene section on New Year's Eve, I thought it'd be a good idea to look back at 2015 and some of the best that movies and music and television had to offer. So that's what I did.
Yeah, it's some good stuff. And, of course, you being the entertainment reporter, you're much more knowledgeable about what's out there than I am. I try to keep up best I can. Mad Max, looking at movies. I did get to see that one in the theaters, and that was a visually stunning and engaging movie. Like you said, not a ton of dialogue, but no, that's not what it was really about.
Well, it's good. It was the fourth in a franchise. It wasn't necessarily a reboot. It kind of honored what Mel Gibson did back in the 80s,
right?
With the character and the films, but it didn't. It didn't really feel like a sequel either, so they hit on some weird ground with it that worked for the film really well.
Of course, Star Wars, I mean, that's like the movie story of the year. And plus, it came out close to the end of the year, so a lot of end-of-the-year buzz for it. I still haven't seen it, but I'm going to go soon.
But you haven't seen the other one, so it doesn't matter.
I've seen most
it's
of
fine.
Them.
It's fine.
I know enough.
Breaking box office records every single day since it came out. Fastest film to ever reach $1 billion opening box office.
And I've seen little to none. Well, I've seen a little bit of criticism of it, I guess, that people maybe think, oh, it's not that great. But I'm thinking those are just contrarians.
Well, those people are wrong. And they're the ones that when people like something, they have to be the ones that hated.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know why people can't just enjoy things, but
just
always those people.
Like what you like.
It's okay, John Pitts. We forgive
you. Yeah, well, I'm not saying I wasn't going to mention anybody.
Well, he hadn't even seen it. He was just like, looks like it's going to be terrible.
Yeah. I'm sure it's great. I can't wait to see it. Some other movies you mentioned, Derek, Love and Mercy, Spotlight, Creed, kind of rebooting the Rocky franchise.
Hoping there. That one's going to get a Best Picture nomination for Academy Awards. I really do.
Good deal. So yeah, check out all of those if you haven't. I'm certainly want to check out Creed and Spotlight. Looks like a good one too. Because just I'm a journalist, so investigative journalism. That's what that movie's about.
Yeah, that's got a great cast too. Can't go wrong with Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
In a role, especially as a newspaper editor.
Oh yeah, he's perfect for that. Television, I'm kind of hit or miss with TV. I tend to like, I mean, I haven't seen any of these things that you, any of these shows that you've mentioned. I have like 4 or 5 shows.
Mm-hmm. What are your 4 or 5 shows?
Walking Dead, Bates Motel. Can't wait for the new season.
I love Bates Motel.
Love it.
I'm glad we agree on that.
Yeah, Bates Motel. Vera Farmiga needs to like win some Emmys already.
She's
for that.
Great.
Okay,
she is Fred so Heimer creepy. Too. I mean, he's great too. But she really makes the show. She steals every scene she's in.
She does. She needs to win some awards for her performances. What's my other shows? Better Call Saul. Love that show.
You were a big Breaking Bad fan.
I was. Sleepy
As
Hollow.
Was I.
Still
I
waiting.
Love Sleepy Hollow.
I'm trying to catch up on this season. I'm only 2 or 3 episodes in.
It's good.
Yeah, it's.
It's very different. They switched out showrunners and.
I'm still trying to. I mean, I still like it. It's fine. It's just I'm still trying to.
It's a good
buy
show.
Into this season
it's
as much
show.
As I did the previous two. But anyway, yeah, those are my main shows. But Supergirl, looking at the previews, I thought, oh, well, that could end up being kind of cheesy. But
it done a really good job with it. I think it's sad it took 2015 for both DC Comics and Marvel to put a female out in front and center with their own franchise. Marvel, of course, has Jessica Jones on Netflix.
I've been meaning to check that one out.
CBS has Supergirl, so when you think about Marvel, they started this huge franchise back in 2008.
Yeah.
2008 with Iron Man, so it's taken this long to they've never even had a female-centered film yet in all
True.
Those films, so
True.
It's good to see them doing it.
The Muppets, I actually have caught a couple episodes of The Muppets. I just keep forgetting to watch it each Tuesday, but I need to go catch up on that. I've always loved The Muppets anyway. I like the kind of more mature twist they put on this show.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, The Man in the High Castle, that's on Amazon. I don't have a subscription anymore, so I want to watch that one, but it's like an alternate reality kind of thing.
It's if what if the Nazis won the World War? Yeah. Let me ask you this. Are you on the Netflix?
Do you have I am on the Netflix, and I saw Making a Murderer pop up on my feed the other day.
Get rolling. If you were a Serial fan...
Which I haven't listened to.
This is visual Serial. This is the television version of the Serial podcast. It's a real life
documentary about a real life. A guy who was convicted of murder.
Yeah, they filmed this thing over 10 years.
Wow.
700 hours of footage. They were making a 2-hour documentary film, and it turned into a 10-hour Netflix thing. 10 episodes, 10-hour long episodes. Yes. It is.
Guy served 18 years, and then his conviction dropped after DNA analysis proved his innocence. But.
That's
the
just
fight is just beginning.
That's just the first episode.
Wow.
Is his 18-year
incarceration
for a crime he didn't commit after the DNA overturns it. That's just where the story starts in episode one, and it gets crazy from there. It's very crazy.
I have to check it out. Put that on my watch list.
You need to be watching Empire.
I haven't been I haven't watched it yet. I don't know. It's great. It's
got the best television character on TV on air in the last 20 years.
Who?
Cookie.
Okay. Well,
she's great.
I'll check it out on your recommendation.
Everything she says is a one liner.
Okay.
It's good stuff. All right. I can see you using some cookie-isms.
Cookie-isms. I have to check that one out. I just don't have time to get into a bunch of shows.
It's good.
You know?
It's basically King Lear in the rap and hip hop world.
Haven't read King Lear or watched it or whatever. Sorry.
Well, there's a few hours left in 2015. Maybe you try real hard, we can get through it. It's our last episode of 2015, Brad.
Sure is, Derek. Let's look at music real quick.
Okay,
that's what I love to talk about the most is music. It's like one of my big passions is I love great music. And there are a couple of albums on here that I do have that you mentioned. Of course the. Alabama Shakes album, Sound and Color, a departure style-wise from their debut effort, but
their
to me, still just as good.
Sophomore albums are always a departure, it seems like.
Yeah.
That's the time to play around, and they did, and I think it worked.
Yeah, they use a bunch of different kind of sounds, I guess, and they pull it off. I mean, they got some of their...
I should say sophomore studio album, because they obviously have other EPs and stuff, but...
Yeah, okay. But they have other EPs?
Mm-hmm.
All I've got is their two... Full albums. I didn't know they had EPs.
I'll share some stuff with you.
Okay. Yeah, bootleg. yeah, they pull it off. I mean, they have
journalistic integrity.
Some songs are just, you know, they're good old rootsy rock, southern rock style, but then they got some more far out stuff that works. Jason Isbell probably had the album of the year, Something More Than Free. Now every album he puts out is just gold. I've got his last two albums. I really got into Jason Isbell I didn't get into Drive By Truckers until kind of recently, about the time I got into Jason Isbell, but I know about his history there. The album before Something More Than Free, now I can't remember the name of it, but it was excellent as well.
I always want to call it Eastbound and Down, but I know
Southeastern.
Southeastern. Yeah. but I always call it Eastbound and Down.
Eastbound and Down. Kenny Powers with a guest appearance on this song. but yeah, it's like somebody read a review that says he's just like a master at like pretty much writing little novels. Mm-hmm. His songs are just like mini novels.
Yeah. It's like Hemingway, but music.
Yeah, and it's brilliant. A lot of people aren't into that style. You're not going to hear him on the radio per se. Mm-hmm. You're not going to hear him on your local pop or rock station, but I don't even listen to the radio, and that's you got to go find the good music, okay? Alabama Shakes, Jason Isbell, Leon Bridges. I haven't really heard much about this guy. What's his deal?
He's good. He was at Blue Canoe back not too long ago, and this is his first album, and it is straight up just like listening to a 1960s soul album. I mean, the vocals, everything that they do on it is it's like a picture out of time. So very good stuff from him.
And Glenn Hansard, I haven't heard of him either. Too.
It's fine. What?
Haven't heard of Glenn Hansard
either.
Oh,
come on. The Swell Season. Did you see the movie once?
No.
Like a few years ago? Well, if you're not familiar.
I still
got,
okay.
Watch once.
Okay, I'll do that. Tell you one album that wasn't on here that I just downloaded this past week I think is excellent is the new Father John Misty album.
I Love You, Honey Bear. If I was making lists of five or top ten, it would definitely be on there. I have that one as well.
Yeah. First, I've I've heard of him. I haven't gotten any of his music until now. I was like, okay, everybody's saying he's so great. I'm going to check him out.
Yeah, and it's a good album.
Yeah, it really is. His real name is what something. What is his real name? This is like his Father John Misty's like his persona he puts on for music. But I forgot what his real name is. But it's good stuff. It's good stuff. Check it out. So. What are you looking forward to the most in 2016, Derek? Ghostbusters?
Movie-wise, I think we got another Star Wars movie coming out in less than a year. True. Not Episode 8, but it's a standalone story.
Aren't they doing
story.
Like six now? I thought they were just doing three
one
more.
One a year for the next 10 years.
For the next what?
10 years.
They're doing 10 more Star Wars.
Yeah.
That's just a little ridiculous.
Well, it's Episode 7, 8, and 9 will come out, but they're also doing these standalone movies.
Oh, standalone,
too.
Okay.
So Episode 7 just came out. Episode 8 will come out in May of 17.
Okay.
But over the next 10 years, you get one a year.
Okay. Well, Ghostbusters, you put Kristen Wiig and Melissa McCarthy in a movie. I don't care what it is. I'm watching it.
It's going to be funny. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah. Don't know much about Kate McKinnon and Leslie Jones. I'm sure I've seen them in something.
They're both on SNL.
Oh, okay. You know, well, I don't watch SNL anymore.
I don't listen to the radio.
Back in the 90s, that's when the show was good.
Get out of my podcast. Get off my lawn.
I was a boy. We didn't have Saturday Night Live.
I got five children. They don't call.
We put on our own variety shows. We
just stood out in the yard.
Down at the 5 and 9.
When we used to crank the cars to start them, we'd go into the city.
Not to stop every 5 miles, get out and re-crank the car.
That's why my hair looks like this. This permanently windblown look.
That was boy. We didn't have legs. Okay, be the grumpy old man all day. So that's the year in review. Looking ahead, Violent Films coming out with a new album. What? Okay, why not?
Violent Films.
Violent Films.
It's only been 16 years.
Yeah, that's all.
It's time.
It's time. Hey,
it's time.
People got
to
make money.
A lot to look forward. There's a lot of movies and stuff to look forward to in 2016.
Oh yeah. Be a good year. Oh, hey, that's it. That's the rest. That's the show.
You all right over there?
Bye, everybody. No. No. Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Yeah. Good show, Derek.
Good show, Brad.
Glad to be back.
Well, you're here.
I'm here. Yes, I am. Okay. Hey.
Hey.
Hey, you can check us out on the Twitter at DJournalMemo. We have an email, too. Y'all can email us your questions or comments or criticisms or high praise.
memo@journalinc.com.
There you go. Ink with a C. I'm on Twitter at Brad Locke.
E.
With an E.
Mm-hmm.
E is silent. You're on Twitter, Derek.
No, it's actually at W. Derek Ross.
I was going to let you say that.
The Q is silent.
The Q is silent. Okay.
Brad sometimes is.
The Daily Journal is on Twitter at DJournalNow.
That it is.
Find us at DJournal.com.
And of course, the memo.
Yeah.
At DJournalMemo.
Yeah. So that's it. That's the end of the memo for 2015. But we'll be back on Monday. So until then, Happy New Year.
See you next time in 2016 from the future.
The future.